brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
7-1 may have been stretching it, John, a little bit, but I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to give it back.
We would love to think that our games should be a lot easier than our practices. I think it has been so far.
How do you keep them focused on the task instead of getting locked into all of the press clipping?
I'm sorry, John.
It ended up being an awesome
You're game, not though. Sorry. Admit this. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and it's another full week. It's a fun one.
It is. Today we have Newton head coach Josh Skelton on the podcast today because they face Parkview for our Football Friday in Georgia game of the week.
Subtle
it will
plug.
Be the very first time we are ever broadcasting from Newton. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
We'll also head south of the city, catch up with Mary Persons head coach Brian Nelson. The Bulldogs are 7-1, undefeated in region play at 2-0. They are on a roll.
One of the really cool football towns here in the state of Georgia. Great history with legendary head coach Dan Pitts, Rodney Walker, and it's great to catch up with Brian to find out what's going on right now. Top five team in the state of Georgia in their classification. Mary Persons, it's a place that we haven't had the chance to, I mean, we catch up with them on Southern Swing and things like that and Central Swing, but to have Brian on the show, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I know. It's really fun to hear from him. So that's all coming up. Before we get too ahead of ourselves, though, I want to take a look back at our game last Friday.
Sure.
We were at Weinman Stadium, and John, I think I think your hair is still a little damp.
I would agree. I think you're right. Okay, so, all right. Well, now, it gets even better. It gets even better.
Oh, my
because,
gosh,
all right, so I get home, and I'm completely waterlogged. You got home a lot earlier than I did. I get home, I'm completely waterlogged. And I was so waterlogged that when I went to bend over to untie my shoes on my Merrell boots...
First of all,
had,
nobody wants this image. You didn't have to say bend over.
Well, I mean, it's
okay,
the visual.
Okay, so when you're taking your shoes off.
When I'm taking my shoes off, I'm still I'm still wearing my rain gear.
Okay, got it.
So as I'm untying my shoe to take off my shoes, I still have my rain gear on.
Okay.
And my head is leaning forward. Water comes out of the hood of the raincoat. And comes and just completely and totally all over me first, and then all over the clothes, and then all over the floor. It took 3 days for my rain jacket to dry out.
I'm sorry, John.
No, you're not.
It ended up being an awesome game.
You're not
though.
Sorry. Admit this.
I had an umbrella the whole time.
You did.
The Purple Hurricanes pulled it out at home by 1 point, 35-34, but that's not the whole story of the game, John. Hiram lost their starting QB. They missed a PAT. It was really close. It could have gone either way, and it was kind of a heartbreaker.
At the same time for Hiram, who's now 6-2, it's a great showing for them. It's the first time that we've had Hiram on Football Fridays in Georgia, and what we've seen from Coach Fominaya and Hiram with their development. I mean, last week they had Kendarius Brown rushed for 187 yards. Caden Hamilton rushed for 115. So they had two rushers over 100 yards, one close to 200. Then for Cartersville, you end up with Christian Lando, who runs for just on the other side of 200 yards as well. 205 gross, I think, net yards worth, I think, 194 and three touchdowns. So it was a great showing against a Hiram team that comes at you different. They come at you from the inverted wing T set, and so it's real hard to defend if you're Cartersville. And so Cartersville got to learn that lesson, and it was a back-and-forth game. Second quarter, Hiram comes back. They tie it at 21, tied at 28 after three. And I think it speaks a lot about how Hiram is developing as well and what Cartersville had to go through to improve to 8-0.
Really cool thing that Coach Fominaya said. He, in his 6 years since taking the job at Hiram, his goal was to get on GBB Sports. And he did it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and it was really cool. I went to out on the field before it started pouring. And I wanted to just shake hands with him and meet him in person. I know when you're here, I know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling to hear that kind of stuff.
I also had an aspiring sports broadcaster with me.
Yeah, you did.
Shadowing at the game.
True.
And we're going to have a little special guest. She's going to be on the show at the end. So you guys stick around.
So it's a tease toward the end of the show. I see how this works.
Okay, quick look around the rest of the state, John. Give us the updates on the big scores, the big things that happened, the upsets. Mm-hmm. Let me have it.
Okay, I think there's still only 20 seconds left in the Mill Creek and Buford game.
That's
all I'm going to say.
Clock is still running.
Colquitt over Camden, 37-16. Newton, obviously beating Brookwood. Mm-hmm. We find out more from Coach Skelton coming up in just a little bit. Our game, obviously the one-point game there. Perry knocked off Baldwin, 33-16. Wayne County over New Hampstead in a tight region game, 21-16 in Quad A. Mary Persons, to tease the Brian Nelson appearance, scoreless after three. And I will swear this game literally was in the fourth quarter when we were at the half. I mean, it was going by that quickly. And it was 13-7. The final, Sandy Creek beat Carver in our web game, 20-15. Carver had to try and work their way down the field, down five. And they were at the, I think they were at like the 11-yard line, I think, as time expired. Pierce beat Toombs to put that region in the blender, 17-14. So Pierce, Appling, and Toombs. I want the tiebreaker. That's what I want to know. Fellowship Christian over Athens Academy, 52-28. Elbert beat Rabin, 21-9 in Class A D1. Bryan beat Screven by 21 to get to 7-1. So that's just some of the highlights from last week.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
For those of us who don't know what happened to Buford and Mill Creek, can you tell us?
Well, how much specificity do you want?
We were just going to, you know.
Just going to kind of let that
just
go.
Just bulldoze right through that one.
Yeah.
Well, come on, John.
Well, Mill Creek did actually beat Buford 31-24. So the top-ranked team in 7A was beaten. Both teams are nationally ranked. But the network that was broadcasting the game decided to switch away from it with 20 seconds to go so they could broadcast a preseason NBA game. And literally it took them more time to tell where the game actually was being shown, and then the game ended. So no one got to see the ending, unless you were really quick with your remote.
Mm.
So there you go.
You said the final score?
Yeah, 31-24 Mill Creek over Buford. Fantastic game shown on a national level.
Yep.
Does that give you your answer, sir?
Yes. I just wanted to get some clarification. That's all.
Clarification. Okay.
Yeah. Well, another game being shown on a national level,
worldwide,
is our game of the week, Newton versus Parkview on GBB Sports.
Listen to you with the plug.
Let's go ahead and get to Coach Skelton's interview. That's head coach of the Newton
Rams. Ram tough.
Head coach Josh Skelton. Here he is. Welcome to the podcast. Let me try that again. In three, two. Welcome to the podcast, Coach Skelton. That is a little bit of a tongue twister.
Welcome to the podcast, Coach Skelton. Okay. I see where those
Thank
S's
you.
Kind
Thank
of collide.
You. Okay, yeah. Now that we've gotten through that, this is your first head coaching gig, your first year at Newton.
Right.
You took a 6-5 program a year ago. You are undefeated now at 7-0. How are you? How are things going? Give us the update and the rundown there.
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, our team is thriving right now. You know, we're working very hard. We got a big belief system in our program and in our culture. Our guys have really bought into everything we've introduced this year. We're having a ton of fun, and you know, in the process, we're 7-0, and we're not satisfied by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, we got big goals this year, and you know, we're looking to go 1-0 every week.
Let me ask you this. There's always that moment when an assistant coach sits there and it's like, yeah, I think I want to be a head coach. What was the thought process like for you? Why now? Why not sooner in your career? Why this gig? Why now, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Right. Well, people don't know I've been here at Newton as an assistant coach for many years, you know, around 11 years. And here I've been the DB coach here, and I've been the strength and conditioning coach. I've been the recruiting coordinator here. So I live in the community, and I fell in love with the community, all our alumni, all the support that's here. And I felt that it was the right time for me to get my opportunity. And I've learned through a lot of great guys. I've learned through Cortez Allen, who's our AD now, Terrence Baines, Camille Grant. I've learned through a lot of guys, and I just knew that when I get my opportunity to put my sprinkle on top, that I thought we would do a good job as well. So it was just the right time, and I think we had a lot of support from all the all the past coaches, and our AD is great, our administration. And this is the right time for me to do it. And, you know, we're having some luck right now.
I would say you've put more than just a sprinkle on top of this program, Coach. I'm not going to let you be too humble here.
You're not going to let him just kind of do a cooking routine.
No, I'm not. We brought you on the podcast to brag about your program, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so we have scores of 50-0, 54-0 in your first two games, 41 points, 27 points, 31 points. You just beat Brookwood 44-17. What did you sprinkle on this team? What did you do to this team? Give us a little bit about the mojo that you brought and maybe your message to the team. What did you do? I would love to know.
I think first is how we attacked the offseason. I mean, we had an incredible offseason. We made our offseason very, 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 very tough, very, very hard. We challenged our main players and our main guys to strain every day. And we're at a point in the season and throughout the offseason where our best players were the hardest workers on the team. They led the right way. They bought into everything that we were saying and did what we asked them to do. I think the offseason set the blueprint. And it's just strictly through hard work. And we got a lot of days, and our staff was up here 6 days a week. We planned on Sundays to come out here and each week to know what our offseason was going to be, new ways to challenge the guys. It's a legendary offseason. I mean, if you made it through this offseason, you were really ramped up, you know, and we had an incredible spring. And we really told our guys that if they do the things, you know, at the level we're asking them to do and to the standard, that we really believe we can have some success this season. And, you know, we became more process oriented. We're not result driven. You know, we're not looking at a scoreboard. We're not looking past any opponent. The only thing important is this Friday and what we need to do to prepare for that Friday. And we make our practices very, very hard. You know, we would love to think that our games should be a lot easier than our practices. And I think it has been so far. And, you know, that's how we've had some success so far.
I have a 2-part question for you. I want to talk about some of your playmakers for people listening that might not know your team as well. And then on the flip side I want a name of somebody that deserves more recognition. So on offense, and just looking back to last game, you had running back Zion Johnson. He rushed for 198 yards and 3 touchdowns on 24 carries. On defense, Wright had a pick 6. So brag on some of your playmakers here, and then at the end, tell me about somebody that deserves more recognition and maybe some college looks that isn't getting the proper looks yet.
Right, no doubt. I think when they look at us offensively, I think a lot of things start with obviously Zion Johnson. And, you know, Zion Johnson is the guy that's probably been in our program since he was 10 years old, honestly, you know, just because we coached his older brother. His older brother was our quarterback here. And we went to the third round with his older brother, like in 15, did some special things with him. And Zion has worked extremely hard, very humble. And he's one of the top athletes and top running backs in the country. Keon Davis has been extremely explosive this year. He's committed to Georgia Southern. He's led the right way, and I think I like to point him out because of the way we challenged him this offseason. I think he responded to every challenge we gave him. We was extremely hard on him on and off the field, in the weight room, and he just responded tremendously, and I'm very proud of him. Marcus Cowwise, I think, is one of the best just overall athletes in the country. I mean, the kid could really play any position on the field. And he's built like a rock. He's like 190 pounds. Our offensive line is like the unsung heroes. Those guys are extremely committed and have done great. And Javion Presley, Shermaine Castile, Otis Mitchell, all those guys have done great. I would say, like, defensively, all our guys have just bought in for a long time. I mean, Rayshon Perry, Wayne Patterson, Jaden Robinson, I mean, Zach Harden Jr., all these guys. But the one person I think that deserves a lot of credit that doesn't get it is Ephraim Wright. Ephraim Wright is a safety for us, but he's really our team captain. He embodies pretty much everything we are, you know, on and off the field. Kid has a 3.7 GPA. Kid is right up at the top with leading in tackles, you know, three interceptions on the year. He just took a pick six. You know, I think that if any college want a great locker room guy, a great leader in the playmaker in the secondary, they'd be crazy not to take Ephraim Wright. You know, this guy's a tremendous leader. Guys are tremendous in the building, Beta Club, anything you can think of, he's in. He's dominant. So he's a great figure for us, and I definitely think he's a sleeper.
Most wins right now since 2019. You're right now at seven right. wins. Out of the blocks at 7-0, most wins since 2019. How do you keep this bunch from getting to look at the press clippings, to not know that we're talking to you for the podcast this week, and so they can continue to focus right. on the task at hand, which is right now in the short-term Parkview, but getting to those deep playoff runs that you're looking for? How do you keep them focused on the task instead of getting locked into all of the press clippings?
We talk about it every day. I mean, we call it poison. And that's one of the terms that if anybody's around our kids, they'll hear them say, can't take the poison. That's something we reiterate every day. We think that the enemy to our success is it obviously is us becoming complacent. And how we do that is, you know, starting to read our own press clippings, start to believe some of the compliments and things of that nature. So our guys do a great job of not taking the bait, not taking the poison, staying away from the papers, and strictly believing in the mission that we're ahead. And those guys at this point are paranoid to look at anything outside of what we need to do to get better. So the only thing our team talks about is what we need to do to improve. You know, we're not looking at how bad we beat Brookwood or what the score was against Brookwood. We're really looking at the things that we want to improve at going into this week. And those guys have bought into that process, and they're looking to practice extremely hard. We push our guys at an unbelievable pace in our practice, and we break those guys down every day, and we want to make sure those guys know how much better we can be versus just how far we come. So we didn't come this far just to get this far, so to speak. So that's the mentality, and they'll remain mentality going forward for sure.
My last question for you, Coach, and hate to add to the poison, but there's a reason we picked your team and your to cover this Friday night. We're just so thrilled. This is going to be, I think, one of the best games on GPB so far this season. So preview the game against Parkview for us. What are the keys to the game? It is going to be an extremely tough test for you guys, maybe the biggest one of the season. We already know your mindset. What are your keys to the game?
Well, first we got a lot of respect for Parkview. I mean, tremendous staff, tremendous kids. It's a battle. I think every year those guys deserve every credit that they have. I mean, they got a tremendous team. I think they're very explosive. I think they're very good on both sides of the ball. I think the key is as for us, is going into our mind is that first and foremost, we want to make sure we win the turnover battle, and we want to make sure that we win our special teams. We want to be the most dominant team, our special teams that we can, week in and week out. And we feel like that's a common denominator that we can separate ourselves, because a lot of that is going to be effort, want to, how important it is to us. That's our culture has to thrive on special teams. And I feel like from there, how balanced we can be on offense, obviously, being able to capitalize on every opportunity, and being able just to play Newton football defensively. We want to be, want to make sure we get into the football, want to make sure we're highly competitive when the ball is in the air, and want to make sure that we're able to respond from any negative play that happens to us, you know. And I feel like if we just do that, we don't go into a game, thinking about the result. You know, we want to win one moment at a time, and if we do that, you know, every week we like our chances. So those are going to be key to the game. I'm sure Parkview is wanting to play Parkview football. Obviously, Newton, we want to play Newton football, and it's going to be more so about us versus us just looking at Parkview. So we want to play our game and kind of go from there.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to seeing Newton football on Friday night. Newton and Parkview, 7-0, hosting 5-2. It's our first visit to Newton in Football Fridays in Georgia history. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, and thanks for putting up with us all week long as we get ready to broadcast you guys on Friday night.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you guys later.
Mm-hmm. One interview down, one to go, and it's time to catch up with our friends in Forsyth. Not the county, city. Mary Persons, ranked top five in the state in their class. Time to catch up with their head coach, Bulldogs head coach Brian Nelson.
Welcome to the podcast, Coach Nelson. You are 7-1, 2-0, coming off a 13-7 win over Peach County, where running back Duke Watson rushed for 150 yards and two TDs. We'll talk about his talent in just a bit. How you feeling, Coach? How's the season going? Get us caught up on everything.
I think we're feeling pretty good. You know, we're in an off week right now, so I think most coaches would say it's always good to go into an off week with a win. And so the kids are off today, and then we'll practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then they'll be off Friday as well. And then we've still got a couple big region games left to finish up the year. But, you know, I just like where we're at right now. I think the confidence level obviously is fairly high, you know, but I know you guys probably understand this. When you're working with 16 or 17-year-old kids, that can change pretty quickly. So, you know, and this is a community that loves football. So it's an exciting time right now in Forsyth.
So when you kind of got the feeling that this was going to be a good team, when did that moment hit you? Was it something that happened spring and summer that you're thinking, okay, we got a good team here, this could be a good season? Or was it something that developed? Was there a moment, or was it something that developed over time?
I don't know if there was a moment, but since, you know, when you come – every high school is the same way. You come back from Christmas break, you kind of, you know, the old seniors are kind of out of there. And then you're trying to develop new leadership. And we really had a great off season. And I've been telling people for a while, that I really like this team and I felt good about them. And, you know, obviously having Duke coming back is a big deal, but some of his classmates have played really, really well for us too. And a lot of those guys over the last two or three years have played a lot of football for us. So we're fairly experienced in terms of that. We don't have a lot of seniors, but we've got a lot of experience. So it was just something kind of building. And then once you never know until you start playing games. But I felt good about this group for a while, probably going back to, you know, the stuff we did in the winter and stuff like that. And then just seeing it through spring practice and the summer and all that stuff, it's kind of just been brewing a little bit. And we've been fortunate to pull a couple games out and get going a little bit and develop a little bit of confidence. And I think that's where it all comes from.
Let's break down your team a little bit on offense and defense for those who listening don't know your team as well. So I would love to hear your thoughts on Duke Watson, one of your main playmakers on offense. But on defense, you guys are awesome as well, holding Mary Persons, holding Peach County to 29 yards rushing. Talk about both sides of your ball there and brag on some of your playmakers.
Well, obviously Duke's been, you know, running the ball for a long time for us, you know, he's been played a lot as a freshman and obviously had a big sophomore year and junior year and has really exploded this year a little bit and got better every year. But we've got some offensive linemen that aren't real big, but they're seasoned and they've played a lot of football for us. And then, you know, Ty Dumas and Gavin Martin and Seth Davis at wideout have come on and been good for us. You know, Mac's done a good job at quarterback, kind of running the show a little bit. But then defensively really is what doesn't get enough publicity probably, you know, and that's easy with Duke being back there. But
yeah,
Jacoby Jones is a senior. He's make that kid an offer segment, if you know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
He has had an unbelievable year. He's a really good football player that people need to know about. And then some other guys on that side of the ball that have, like I said, these guys have been playing a lot since they were sophomores, and they took their lumps because of that, you know. RJ Holder's a guy. Nick Arnold's had a great year. Sidney Carter. Jay Notum's a defensive end. He's a junior that's played really, really, really well for us. And I could go on and on. Javon Sands, Xavion Scandra, Malachi Knight. I mean, Jace Davis, Shimon Reese has played good on defense. Christian Stewart's played on both sides of the ball a little bit and had a good year. It's Mary Persons. We don't get a lot of people from anywhere else other than Forsyth. And it's just kids that love football, and they've all found a way to step up together this year. And it's been fun to watch.
So if I had told you at this point of the season going into your bye week that you'd be 7-1 with this group of folks that have been there forever, that have been playing since they were freshmen and sophomores, what would you have told me if I'd said, okay, you're going to be 7-1 right now? What would you have told me at the beginning of the year?
And it's not an easy 7-1. I mean, we've played Northeast, Spalding, Trinity Christian, Prince Avenue, Beach. I mean, we have played some good teams, you know, and Duke didn't even play against Spalding. Otherwise, I think that game could have went a little differently, you know, and we lost by a touchdown. But, I don't know. I thought there was a chance, but 7-1 may have been stretching it, John, a little bit, but I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to give it back.
No. Well, it's your 12th season with the Bulldogs. What has been your message to the team this year, and what does football mean to your community?
Well, I think what gets lost a little bit is we had a couple down years the last couple years, but Mary Persons is a proud place that loves football, and not only the community, but the kids love it. And we haven't really gone anywhere. We haven't performed that well the last couple years. And I think some of that has to do with depth. And, you know, we had some small senior classes coming through, and you guys know this in high school football, especially small towns, the talent stuff can go in cycles, mm-hmm. you know, and we had a bad little cycle there for a couple years. And not that we had bad players, we just didn't have enough of them, enough of good players. And the kids fought and played hard, but 6-5, 7-4, which for a lot of places is good, but that's not really the standard or the expectation at a place like Mary Persons. And for the community, this means a lot. I mean, it's a proud place that really loves Mary Persons, and nobody goes anywhere. People, you know, the people that come to the games, they graduated from here, they played here, their kids go here, you know, their relatives all went here. It's a unique place, and it's really you just don't see a lot of it anymore. You know, I mean, I think everything is you know, metro-ish a little bit, like, you know, and these small towns that you know, do everything they can for a Friday night and you know, live or die by it to a certain extent. They like having good football teams, and we're fortunate this year to be, you know, where we're at, but we got a long way to go, and it's by no means where we want it to be. So we'll keep working, but, you know, Forsyth and Monroe County loves football, and it's a proud place with a lot of history and tradition.
No doubt about it, with names like Dan Pitts and Rodney Walker. When you have these, how much of your players, do they know the history? Do they understand about Coach Pitts and Coach Walker and the history and what you've been there building over the last decade? How much of the history do they know going into this?
I think they do. You know, I mean, a lot of their dads and granddads and brothers and uncles and cousins played here too.
They've been hearing all the stories,
John. They
hear
about it a lot, you know, but, you know, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we got to where we didn't respect the tradition enough, and the kids didn't understand it enough. And that's something, you know, we've tried to convey to them, and these guys have got it through that it means a lot to wear that MP on your helmet. You know, it's not just something that we take for granted, and it matters and it means a lot. And I think this group got away from that for a little bit for 2 or 3 years and didn't really respect it enough. So we've talked about that a lot, and I think they understand it. But for the most part, I mean, if you grow up here, you play rec ball here, you play middle school here, and you go to high school and you play football for Mary Persons, and I think about everybody understands that we've got in our program.
No doubt about it. Out of the block, 7-1. You've got a bye week. You're at Upson Lee on the 27th for a big game for your 9th game of the year. My younger brother, Brian. I'm kidding.
Yeah, there we go.
Brian Nelson, the head coach at Mary Parsons. Thanks
younger
for hanging
brother.
Out with us.
Much younger.
Much younger brother, yes.
Yeah,
much.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, Hannah. I appreciate the two muches.
I got
much,
you, coach.
Much.
I got you,
not
coach.
Just much, but much, uh-huh. much.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. See? The head coach at Mary Parsons. Thanks for hanging out with us right now. Ranked top five in AAA. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Absolutely love it. Thank you, guys.
Great to catch up with Coach Nelson, and I will be interviewing Duke Watson as my featured player this week, so look for that on Sunday.
Check.
I cannot wait to catch up with him and see how his season has been and his recruiting process. He's committed to Louisville, so we'll be finding out all of that very soon.
24 for 150 in both scores in their win against Peach County this past Friday.
So we've already talked about our TV game, Parkview at Newton. Our web game is the Region 8 1A D1 Oof. Battle between Commerce Oof. And Elbert County.
Man.
Other games to watch on my list is the Region 1 7A Showdown, Colquitt 7-0 mm-hmm. at Lowndes 4-3. Anything can happen at Lowndes, but that's going to be a really tough test for the Vikings. So Colquitt versus Lowndes is my game to watch. John, what
All right.
you got?
Here we go quick. It is Carrollton hosting Westlake in 7A. Thomas County Central Saturday at Houston County because of the availability of Freedom Field. You've got to rotate that out sometimes. 7-0 at 6-1. Thursday, Marist is at North Atlanta. Once again, you've got teams that are 6-1 playing 7-0. 5A, Calhoun and at Dalton, both 6-2. GAC is at Kell, 7-0 at 6-1. 4A, Benedictine is at Wayne County in Jessup, 8-0 plays 6-2. Spalding is at Westside Macon, 8-0 plays 6-1. 3A, Calvary Day at Savannah Country Day, 7-0 and 5-2. Cedar Grove and Sandy Creek, Cedar Grove 3-5, doesn't matter. Sandy Creek is 6-2. That one will be played at Godfrey Stadium in DeKalb County. Double A, Appling County and Vidalia, both teams 5-2. Fellowship Christian plays Providence Christian, 5-2 and 6-1. We mentioned Elbert County and Commerce. Sly in Manchester, Class A D2. That one's in Ellaville. And there you go. That's games to watch.
Great. Quick flag football update if you watched it on our
triple header
platforms
Thursday.
Last Thursday. It was a triple header at McEachern. McEachern beat BT 6-0. BT then beat Milton 20-0. And McEachern beat Milton 20-13. We will have another flag football matchup this Thursday. Follow us on social media at GBB Sports to see if we will be broadcasting a game near you.
All right. Staff whip around.
Staff whip around.
I feel like we need something like official kind of music or some
like
voice
a,
of
like
doom
a, whoosh,
voiceover.
Like whip around.
We have music.
Okay.
But wait, give me that real clean.
Staff whip around.
Do it one more time.
Staff whip around. Staff whip around. There you go. You get the whip and the yeah. and the voice of doom.
Okay. Yeah.
There
okay.
you go. Okay.
We'll add that to the music.
Yeah, there you
Perfect.
Go. All right, so here we go.
We have music? Wait, we have music?
Yeah.
Cool.
Jeremy will add music. We have Alpharetta playing Lassiter. And Alpharetta beat Lassiter 35-3. One of the upsets of the week was with Jake the Snake. Archer beat Parkview 28-27. Uh-oh.
Jake, tell us what
wow.
happened in the game.
You know, we did our best, but sometimes your best isn't good enough.
You guys, Jake is the biggest football fan in the whole world.
He is absolutely the biggest
yeah.
football fan.
Yeah, that
ever.
Was a great takeaway. Thank you, Jake.
Go Parkview Panthers.
See, he could be a coach. He is that good at this. Decatur was off. So Commander Sandy's mm-hmm. Decatur Bulldogs were off. James's Central Macon Chargers mm-hmm. were off. So the only game left on the board, and my Lakeside Vikings were off. So
Darlington.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Pepperell and Darlington for Ambassador Jeremy, and it was a rough night for Darlington as Pepperell.
Ooh, sorry,
won
Jeremy.
35-10 in this battle of Lindale
Lassiter
and Rome.
Still loses though. What was the score again?
35-3.
Yeah, I grew up. I had lived in Lindale when yes. I went to Darlington, yeah. and so and my high school girlfriend was a Pepperell graduate. So I spent plenty of times in Lindale, and they got those milk jugs
yes,
that they fill
sir.
With pennies
yep.
and they shake them.
Yep.
I can still hear those things.
Yeah. With Lynn Honeycutt. The esteemed head coach of the Pepperell Dragons.
We have one more special staff whip around today.
Well, yeah, we do have one more whip around game. So
we sure
which
do.
One is it?
We have Miley Lindzen in right. the studio today, and her mom Ashley is behind the glass.
She's back there.
So Miley is a freshman at Cherokee High School.
And she's going to take our jobs next year, is what you're saying.
And an aspiring sports broadcaster.
She's not aspiring. She's doing it.
She already is a sports broadcaster.
Yeah, I was gonna
what
say.
Are we doing? Tell us your staff whip around. What was the score and what happened
at Cherokee
on Friday?
So right now, Cherokee is 1-5, and we've come really close to winning a bunch of the games, but ultimately didn't pull it off. There's lots of great talent on our team. Our QB, Tanner Savasir, is a junior. He is a great player. He's completed 124 out of 202 passes and has 211 rushing yards.
60% passing rate. That's good.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for next year with him. Another one of our players, Reed Chanley, he is on varsity. He's our senior kicker, and he's amazing. He's great in and off the field, a great kid. He's made 7 out of 10 field goal attempts, including a 46-yard field goal, a 75-yard kickoff, and a 60-yard field goal just at practice,
nice.
Not in the game, but super cool. He's also had tons of game day visits from Georgia Tech, UGA, Florida, and lots of big ones. So
cool.
Definitely watch out for him. Another one of our players, Christian Irwin, he leads the team in rushing yards with 348 for the season, and he's the guy to give the ball to when we need a few extra yards.
It sounds like a fullback. It's like third and two, and you need him to just crash the line of scrimmage, and he's the guy that you give it to. So let's see. He's averaging 58 yards a game on the ground.
Okay. So Cherokee's 1-6. They're 0-2 in region play, but their big win was against Woodstock, 49-13, September 1st. Were you at that game?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so what was that win like? What was the atmosphere like, and what all do you do at the games as a sports reporter?
It was great. That game was really fun. It was a great win. We beat them by a lot. And so the student section was just yelling and everything like that. And so I went on the game, I went on the field after the game and interviewed the coach and just talked to the head coach, Coach Shaw, about what it was like winning and stuff like that.
So for folks that want to keep an eye on your work, I've seen it on, so is it the IG, the Gram, or the Insta?
She's got the cutest sports page. So tell everybody where to follow you. I know that was on Instagram, but you probably have other things too.
I have it on Instagram and TikTok. Those are my main ones.
What is the handle so people can follow you to help support your career?
chs.sportscast.
Okay, so at chs.sportscast, all of our listeners, please go follow Miley to help build her portfolio for her college dreams.
Especially when she's doing the TikToks.
Yeah, especially the TikToks. Okay, so you want to go to Florida.
Yes.
Florida has an awesome, I know. Cover your ears, John. They have an amazing sports broadcasting program, Gator Vision.
Yeah.
So what are your goals and dreams with sports broadcasting? And just a shout out, she's already way ahead of when John and I were her age.
Like, true.
I think you're actually ahead of most people. But what are your goals and dreams?
So I started CHS Sportscast this summer to get started on the dream of being a sports broadcaster. It started as a way for me to get as much practice as possible interviewing the athletes, and I hope to cover all of the sports that my school will allow me to do.
All of them.
Yes, right now my biggest goal is to hit this passion project just out of the park and impress colleges I'm hoping for, University of Florida.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
Yeah.
The college is just so competitive and just hard to get into these days, and I have the grades and everything like that, but it won't make me stand out. So that's kind of where the idea of a passion project came into mind. And it's like, how many high schoolers can we say that have taken it upon themselves to talk to coaches and arrange interviews day in and day out? And just really cool.
Yeah. You're leaving high school
and only a
demo
freshman.
Tape. I know.
A lot more time to go.
One more time. Tell everybody how they can follow you.
CHS.sportscast on Instagram and TikTok.
And the Tiki Talks.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. So that's another round of the Football Fridays
Thanks
in Georgia
for being
podcast.
Here, Miley.
Thank you so much.
Miley's going to teach us everything that we need to know about yes. being a sportscaster.
Yes.
And then next season on the
and
show.
And then tell us everything we're doing wrong yeah. 10 years later.
Basically, yeah. And so next year she'll be hosting yeah. and we'll be sitting there uh-huh. and we'll be co-hosting this thing with her. So thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Because it is a drive from the Cherokee region to come down here. And to be a part of things here in downtown Atlanta. Thanks
You're
for
only
hanging
our
out.
Second guest in the studio ever,
really?
By the way.
Back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back. We look at us, John.
I know. We're like advanced and stuff. So for everybody behind the glass, I'm just John. She's Hannah. That's Miley at chs.sportscast, right?
Yes.
At chs.sportscast on the social medias so you can keep up with everything going on at Cherokee. So for Hannah, for everybody behind the glass, I'm just John. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. Region play really picking up.
To you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.